Thank you for attending today's session entitled What You Need to Know About Conducting Security Risk Assessments, Part 2. Our speaker for this podcast is Adam Keeler, CISSP, Privacy and Security Specialist at Quality Insights of Pennsylvania, Regional Extension and Assistance Center for HIT. Adam, please begin your talk.
Thank you, Lee. So in Part 1 of the podcast, we discussed security risk assessment or security risk analysis and what the different parts are and how to approach it and how to conduct a security risk analysis. So once the analysis is finished, unfortunately, your work has not been completed. You have identified your risks and set risk levels and finalized your documentation. However, there's more work to be performed. The first thing to do is to put together a risk management strategy. And this should not be a one-time thing. This should certainly be an ongoing risk management plan that your organization has. Your organization may already have risk management strategies for other things like medical, operational, business risks to the business. And this is very similar to those. So the security risk management plan will be an action plan in place to determine how the organization addresses the identified risks. Now, risks can be addressed in one of three ways. You can choose to mitigate a risk, you can accept a risk, or you can transfer the risk. So first of all, with mitigating the risk, certainly you would put in reasonable and appropriate safeguards that will reduce that risk level to an acceptable level. You will never have zero risk. There is always risk to the information. The goal here is to mitigate that risk to a level that's acceptable to the organization. And that level is not prescribed by HIPAA or the Office for Civil Rights. That is determined by reasonable and appropriate business decisions. So these things will be based on risk level, priority, budget, business drivers. These are all factors that go into how you are addressing a specific risk. And when you are implementing these safeguards, you also want to not only consider technical safeguards, but administrative and physical safeguards as well, policies and procedures, and organizational standards. I mentioned there are two other ways to address a risk. Accepting a risk. It may be tempting to just go through your whole list of risks and just say, well, we accept all these risks and, you know, we made that decision and therefore we are complying by having made that decision. Well, remember, I mean, it still has to be a reasonable and appropriate decision. So, for example, I've met with some organizations where they had a risk because, for example, they didn't have proper physical security surrounding their server. Well, perhaps this organization was moving to another site in 3 months. This organization may decide that they will accept this level of risk for the next 3 months until they move into the new site, at which time they will address it. That would be certainly a reasonable decision because no one would expect them to go and build a secure server closet when they're moving out of that site in the next few months anyway. So that may be an example of accepting a certain level of risk. You may also consider the cost of the security control that would be required to mitigate that risk. That's certainly, you know, a factor in the decision, though it shouldn't be the only factor. Transferring risk, this is where organizations may purchase things like cyber insurance or other types of insurance. Those are certainly things that are worthwhile to look at. I generally hesitate to decline mitigating a risk just because that insurance is in place. I would rather focus my intention on not having the breach in the first place, but it's certainly something to consider as part of the risk management strategy. For smaller organizations, the risk management strategy may be simpler. You know, it may not be a formal process where you have teams identified and you know, very formal policies around it and things like that. It may simply be an action plan within your risk analysis that says, here's how we're addressing these risks, here's who's responsible, and here's our target date. HIPAA doesn't specify how complex this needs to be. It needs to fit the organization. And as I mentioned earlier, it's just important that the risk management plan isn't a one-time thing. We want to be doing continuous security risk analysis and risk management. So while the risk analysis is a one-time event for many organizations, or I should say an annual event for many organizations, where they're doing it to meet the meaningful use requirement or because their policy says we'll do an annual risk analysis, the best practice for conducting risk analysis is to actually truly integrate the risk analysis and management process into your standard business operations processes. So every time you're making a change, introducing a new system, implementing a new EHR system or firewall, it's important that you are evaluating the security risks. This can be incorporated into something like a change management process. When we are doing changes to our systems, there's a certain process that we go through, and that process can include evaluating the risks. So here's the documentation for the change we want to do. Here's the technical information. Here's our backup plan, communications plans, things like that. And oh, by the way, here is our risk management strategy for these changes. Again, depending on the size of the organization, that may be formal, that may be a little more informal. But the important thing is that you're not just addressing these risks one time a year, that you are doing this as you are making changes. So some good times to evaluate security risks are certainly as you're making changes, if you're changing workflows, because those can certainly introduce risks. If you're planning to incorporate new technology or make operations more efficient, if you have change in ownership or turnover in key staff, this is a good time to, again, look at what the risks are. Because as these organizational changes are happening, information can certainly be put at risk. And certainly if you've had a security incident, you want to go back and evaluate what your risk level is and how are you addressing that risk. So now that you've done your risk analysis, you have a risk management strategy in place, the one concern that many organizations have is, how do I ensure I'm passing an audit? So when they come to audit me, what do I need to be worried about? Well, there are a few different kinds of audits. There are meaningful use audits as well as HIPAA audits. We'll start with meaningful use. Within meaningful use, there are, again, are two types of audits. There are audits from Medicare and those from Medicaid. The Medicare audits are currently conducted by Figliozzi and Company. They have been contracted by CMS to conduct the audits for Medicare attestations. These can be prepayment or postpayment audits. So after you attest, you may get notification of an audit, and you must pass the audit before you get your payment. Or even after you've gotten your payment, you may get an audit letter, and if you do not pass the audit, you will have to return the payment. They can go back as far as 6 years on these audits. So it's important to keep a copy of your documentation, not just for the security risk analysis, but for all of your meaningful use documentation going back every year for the past 6 years. There is a right to appeal an audit determination. And as I mentioned, failure of an audit requires that incentive monies be returned or will not be released in the first place. And estimates are that approximately 5% of meaningful use participants will be audited. There isn't much guidance on determining who will be audited. It may be random. There may have a formula. We really don't have a lot of information on that. So for the Medicare audit, they're looking for validation that the security risk analysis of the certified EHR technology was performed prior to the deadline. Now, that deadline, the guidance on that has changed a little bit since the start of the Meaningful Use Program. Initially, it needed to be done before the end of the reporting period. Now, with the final rule for 2015 that has just come out, the guidance for this year seems to indicate that the risk analysis must be done within the calendar year for which you're reporting. So it can be done anytime between January 1st and December 31st of that calendar year, regardless of which 90 days for which you're reporting. So what do you need to have to prepare for the audit? Well, the suggested documentation includes a report that documents the procedures performed during the analysis and the results. The report should be dated again prior to the end of the deadline and should include evidence to support that it was generated for that provider. So there are a few things here. I've seen some organizations that will simply submit the report, and then Figliozzi will often come back and say, no, we need to see the documentation procedure that was performed to come up with that report. So we need to see the whole thing. They do also focus heavily on the date and for whom it was provided. So that evidence needs to be included in the documentation. At times, I've ended up providing a letter for the organization saying, yes, this verifies that we did the security risk analysis for this provider on this date, and that letter from your assessor can often help out. So those are the types of documentation you need to have ready. The Medicaid audits are performed by the individual states. And from the reports that I've heard, there may be difference between the states on what they're looking for in these audits. So I can't comment on what the expectations are of each state. But it's my belief that if you keep the type of documentation that Figliozzi has been asking for, you shouldn't have a problem with your dates. So with the audit will generally come an information request. It's important to read that information request, especially for the Medicaid audits. I mentioned they may differ by state. And ensure that you are including all the information that they have requested and including the format. They may request it by paper. They may have an electronic portal you can upload it to. It's just important to really read through what the information request is and ensure that the documentation that you are returning includes that information that they're requesting. So I'll go through a few common audit issues that have been experienced by myself, my colleagues, as we've worked with organizations to go through the audits. So the first one is to ensure that the risk analysis is a bona fide security risk analysis of the EHR and not just a narrative description of security controls that are in use at the organization. I've seen organizations do this. If perhaps they've had their IT vendor do their security risk analysis, or maybe someone who's not quite as experienced with it, they may end up describing what security controls are in place. And that is not a security risk analysis, as we discovered in the first part of this podcast. So one response that we have seen come back from Figliozzi reads as follows. The documentation provided for this measure is not an actual security risk analysis specific to the certified EHR system. Acceptable documentation would be proof that a security risk analysis was performed prior to the end of the reporting period. For example, a report that outlines procedures performed and the results of an analysis. I've also seen this type of response when someone submits a checklist, because there's many security checklists out there, and you can go through a checklist, and that may be helpful as part of your risk analysis, but that checklist in itself does not constitute a security risk analysis. Another response that has been returned along a similar vein indicates, again, the documentation provided is not a security risk analysis. Acceptable documentation would be proof that the risk analysis was performed prior to the end of the reporting period. And it goes on to add that if material deficiencies were identified, mitigation of these deficiencies must be included. This is a bit of a tricky part of the meaningful use rule because they've never come out and said that you must fully mitigate all of your security risks. Rather, you must have the risk analysis and a risk management strategy. So the audits that I've seen come back, as long as you include that, it doesn't necessarily have to have proof that you mitigated all of your risks, but you should have a strategy and show that you are working in good faith to address your risks. In this response, they do seem to include a request for mitigation of risks, but it's still my understanding they're not expecting you to fully mitigate all risks because that would not be in correlation with the HIPAA security rule. Another audit issue that has come up is just ensuring that the risk assessment report documents the correct date of the risk assessment and does not include extraneous dates. Because I've seen situations where the auditor might get confused. If you send the auditor a risk assessment that has been updated since your reporting period or since your attestation, and so it has some more current dates in it, and you send it, even though that risk analysis was performed within the reporting period or within the time frame required by meaningful use, they may get confused with those dates that show up after the date. So my recommendation is to supply a risk assessment that shows the dates prior to the deadline of the meaningful use requirements, even though you may have a living document that has dates after that. So the response that came back was, the supplied security risk analysis was performed as of given date. However, per CMS regulations, a new review would have to occur for each subsequent reporting period. Therefore, we'll need the security risk assessment that was completed the given attestation date. So again, there it's important that the dates on the analysis are correct. As I mentioned earlier, one thing to ensure you're doing is including the remediation plan. So this is a response that has come back as an audit response. The remediation plan of the risk analysis supplied was not completed. And another one is a security risk management gap analysis was supplied. However, the results of the analysis, risks identified, and remediation plan to address the risks are also needed. So just to summarize that, ensure what you're doing constitutes a security risk analysis. It's not just a checklist or description of security controls. Make sure you document the steps that you followed, document a risk management strategy, and update your risk analysis for each reporting period. If you are not comfortable with doing this yourself, certainly seek outside help. Now, that's for meaningful use. The guidance for documenting your HIPAA security risk analysis actually doesn't differ greatly. You want to make sure that you are keeping all of that documentation, keep previous copies of your risk analysis going back to certain dates, because you know if you discover you had a breach 2 or 3 years ago and the Office for Civil Rights comes in and investigates that and conducts an audit, you'll certainly want to be able to show what your risk analysis at that point and also your policies and procedures said at that point in time. And that is required as a documentation requirement of the HIPAA security rule. So it's important to keep those past copies, keep all the supporting documentation and the living documents. Make sure you save off a copy for each year that it was performed. For the HIPAA audits, there are a few different ways to have the Office for Civil Rights come and visit you. One is a random audit. And as we all know, they are really ramping up and getting ready to do a lot more of those in the coming year. So it's important to be ready for those and have your risk analysis documented, because the first question they always ask in their audits is, show me a copy of your risk analysis. And it's a great way to show that you are exercising due diligence and not being negligent. So the other way is if there would be a breach or patient complaint, that's when the Office for Civil Rights will often come in. And again, the first question is always, show me a copy of your security risk analysis. So it's really important to have, not just for meaningful use, but also for addressing the requirements of the HIPAA security rule. So that ends the second portion of the podcast. I hope it was informative. If you do have any questions or follow-up comments, certainly feel free to contact the organizers or myself. And I hope you've gained some value out of this podcast.